I know for me at one time I thought I could never love again, and I remarried 6 years ago to the most amazing woman I've ever met. And I don't want to mess that up. The world of lust is all around us, and it can only be too easy to fall into the snare of sexual immorality. We need men in our lives like Phil and Jim to step out and talk about difficult topics, to sharpen our thinking on how to keep our thoughts pure for our wives. And I could go on and spend my whole time telling about how every speaker's lesson hit me right into my faith walk. Bless me each Wednesday, all from teaching from the book of Proverbs. And I'll bet I'm not the only one here that can relate. In fact, I'll bet each one of us can say that God gave each one of us a timely word. Proverbs 3:13, blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. In the two back-to-back books of Psalms and Proverbs, we find everything we need to help us live a godly life. Every single aspect of Christian living is addressed. In the Psalms, we find Christians on their knees. In the Proverbs, we find Christians on their feet. In the Psalms are for Christian devotions. The Proverbs are for the Christian walk. The Psalms are for the closet of prayer. And the Proverbs are for the business place, the home, the marriage, and for all men who want to apply it in these areas. Jim kicked us off. Jim Jacobs kicked us off in chapter 1, verse 1, and it reads, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding the words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning." It hits a smack dab in the middle of daily life. This book is for every person, for everyday instruction. Written by King Solomon in Kings chapter 4, verse 29 tells us, "God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sands on the shore." I don't know about you, but I value the God-inspired wisdom of Solomon. And I'm glad we're here as a group studying Proverbs. Today brings us to chapter 15. Before I go any further, I have a question. What is, in your opinion, one of the most powerful and destructive weapons in the world? A nuclear weapon? A battle tank or a machine gun? A teenager behind the wheel? I've brought with me, and this is just an example, it's just for illustration, something that can be destructive. And if you've read your outline, you've probably got a good idea. Maybe not what kind is in here, but the weapon anyway. The tongue. Now, I couldn't get anybody to let me use their tongue today, so I borrowed this from a cow. And I don't think he wants it back, so I'm finished with it. If anybody would like to take it, they could maybe put some potatoes with it and cook it up tonight. And I can get plenty more of these if anybody needs some. In fact, Jim is... Is there an opportunity to provide lunch for Huddle coming up soon? The Bible tells us that the tongue is like poison from a deadly viper and a deadly arrow that no man can tame. The power of the tongue is awesome. The Bible has a lot to say about the power of the tongue. Just the word tongue is mentioned well over 100 times. Jeremiah did say that the tongue is a deadly arrow. And James has more thoughts than I think anybody else in the Bible about it. And he said, "The tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest fire is set by such a small spark." James also tells us that no man can tame the tongue. And when we think of our speech conduct, the first thing we think of, the first thing that comes to mind is to not be foul-mouthed and to not use God's name in vain. And for some of us, that may be a real struggle, to not let the filth fly in a burst of anger or when things don't go our way. Or if someone cuts us off in the on the highway or the checkout line. But I think there's more to this than that. There's power in the words we speak to each other. More power at times than I think we realize. Proverbs 18:21 tells us, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." It seems as though our society today thrives on digging up dirt on each other, especially if you're well known or in the spotlight, so to speak. A pastor or a pillar of the community, or anybody for that matter, backslides, makes a mistake, makes a poor choice. It makes a good gossip story. Everyone likes a good story, right? Wrong. "Hey, did you hear about so-and-so? Hey, let me tell you what they did. You won't believe it." The story's not so good when it's about you. We call this gossip. Mischievous talk about other people. Idle talk. God has given us power in the spoken word. And I mean the spoken word, I mean God has given us power in the word. And I believe we should use this power to edify others and encourage each other, especially when we see a brother in difficult times. It's helpful. It's building up. We shouldn't kick a man when he's down. Our tongue, our speech, can either divide or destroy the body of Christ, or it can build and edify. The Bible clearly teaches on the principle of sowing and reaping. If you sow corn, you reap corn. If you sow black-eyed peas, you reap black-eyed peas. If you sow words of destruction, you reap destruction. If you sow words of life, you reap life. Proverbs 13:3, "He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction." Gossip, in a way, judges others, which really isn't our job. God's in charge of judging, not us. Romans 1:29, Paul compares gossips with a less than desirable group. "They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, and malice." They are gossips. James 1:26, "If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. If you claim to be holy and do not control your tongue, you're just fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. If you catch yourself falling into the trap of gossip, stop. Don't passion the gossip. If you don't passion it, there's nowhere for it to go. Proverbs 26:20, without wood a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. Let gossip end with you. Ephesians 4:29, I love this verse. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, and that it may benefit those who listen. We need to lend an ear. We need to encourage and give wise counsel. If someone comes to you and starts saying a bunch of junk, just beware. How could you trust them? They won't discriminate. If they talk about others, as soon as you're out of their earshot, they're going to talk about you too. And I know for me, the opportunity arises often to chime in on a conversation, to put in my 2 cents worth about someone. At times, I have to make a conscious effort to guard my speech. I have to stop and think, is this building up or tearing down? Our tongue, such a small part of our body, but such a big part to contain. James does compare the tongue to fire, an unruly evil full of deadly poison. The tongue is capable of edifying and building up, or it's capable of burning down. In fact, in 1858, the Chicago Fire was started by a cow, knocking over a lantern, catching the barn on fire, and consuming the entire city. The same is true with the tongue. Little hurtful words start out small, then escalate into harmful words that can devastate destroy families, marriages, friendships, countries, and yes, even churches. A lot of people would be a lot better off if they chose their words wisely. A lot of people would still be friends today if they would just glue their lips shut sometimes. A lot of homes would still be together if couples were a little more careful with their words. The Bible teaches us to be quick to hear and slow to speak. Peter tells us in 3:10, whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. Proverbs 15:4, the tongue that brings healing is the tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. I know a year ago, my spirit was somewhat crushed. My wife and I received a letter in the mail, and it was typed about a page long, and it contained half-truths, was judgmental, condemning. This person was upset about how we handled our family. When I married my wife, Dawn, she was a single, hard-working mother with 3 teenage daughters. And I was a widowed, middle-aged man working and raising 2 teenage boys and a girl. We were blending 6 teenagers together into one family, along with me being a stepfather for the first time and Dawn being a stepmother for the first time. In their twisted reasoning, they came up with the idea that we were self-centered, Dawn was destructive, I was no man, made mistakes. We were by no means Christians. We needed help and forgiveness. We were blending a family of 6 teenagers. Now, if this letter would have also stated that you both have gone temporarily insane and some of the teens have gone brain dead from time to time, I might have agreed with it a little bit more. The letter had no signature. I have no idea who sent it. But they did get a few things right. I've made plenty of mistakes. I need forgiveness from time to time. And it's not the first time that I've made a mistake, and it certainly won't be the last. And last year, I was asked to share here at Huddle when we were studying Joseph. I don't know if any of you remember or not. This letter was waiting for me at home on the counter on the day I was asked to speak here at Huddle last year. Proverbs 18:8, the words of gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's most inmost parts. This thing really hit me. It really hit me between the eyes. Someone coined the saying that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Whoever said that couldn't have been more wrong. Broken bones heal much quicker than wounds left by an out-of-control tongue. I would rather have had Mike Garrow tag me with a good right hook than have a brother gossip about me. At least after a week in a coma, I would wake up and eventually the pain would subside, but the words of an out-of-control tongue can sting for a very long time. I really thought about turning down Huddle last year. I thought, am I really even supposed to speak at Huddle? I have made mistakes. I have done and said terrible things to others. I've made mistakes with my kids. Why would anybody want to hear what I have to say? I prayed a lot before I said yes to Huddle. And as I prayed, God revealed to me that turning down Huddle would be turning down Him. And something else I figured out in my walk. God believes in me. And now that's all that matters to me. He believes in me, and He believes in all of you. You know, have you ever thought of that? I mean, we all say we believe in Jesus, and I believe in God. Do you ever think that God believes in you? God believes in Huddle. He believes in the Huddle board. that makes this happen each Wednesday. There's no doubt in my mind that this time is blessed by God. There's no doubt in my mind that angels in heaven rejoice when we meet. There's no question in my mind. Matthew 10:32-33. And Dave Du Bois could probably quote this right along with me. Jesus said, "Whoever acknowledges men before me, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown them before my Father in heaven." Man, if God picks you to share, if God picks you to share, I assure you He will equip you for the task. Just make yourself a vessel to His Word. I've taken this letter and I've learned a lot about becoming a better person. This past year I've studied much about what the Bible has to say on the power of our words and gossip and judging. I've made a concerted effort to lift up and edify others and to be sensitive on what leaves my lips. I work at keeping my family intact. And I find it interesting that I'm up here doing this chapter today. Jim Jacobs gave me a choice of January 9th, 16th, or the 23rd. And I took the 23rd because it was the farthest date away. That was my choice. God gave me chapter 15 to share with you guys today. I'm missing a page. No, it's right here. Proverbs 15:23. A man finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word. I believe if we seek God, He meets us right where we're at in our daily walk. He'll give us wisdom and direction at just the right time. May not be the time frame we like, but it will be His perfect will for our lives. No doubt God wanted each of us here today. No doubt. Not a coincidence, not a fluke. Based on DNA, our physical bodies are completely unique. No two exactly alike. The pattern of the iris of your eye is completely unique to each one of you. An original creation. And so is your time and place here. Is very unique to each one of you. No person has lived in precisely your time, in your environment in which you live, work, move, and play, or in the same context of the same people you meet from day to day and the relationships you forge from year to year. God only knows us and the uniqueness of our creation, but He also knows us uniquely. At every moment of our lives, we need to honor God with this unique relationship by watching what we say, controlling our tongue. I think we get caught up in the world and the business of life when we should be about the Father's business, lifting each other up, encouraging each other, not writing anonymous letters. When Bob Gray taught out of chapter 8 in November, he said, and I'm quoting from my notes, "It's amazing what we say about each other. We prejudge people and think we know who they are, what they are, or what they've been through." Bob couldn't be so more right. I have a story that illustrates this in a very powerful way. And it's from Insight for Living with Charles Swindoll. And before I start, it's about a guy that ended up in the Bowery. And the Bowery is a rough street in New York. I don't even think the police tried to even go there. It's just full of all kinds of evil. It's just a rough street. It says, "Who really cared? He was a routine admission to a busy Bellevue hospital, a charity case, one among hundreds, a drunken bum from the Bowery with a slashed throat. The derelict's name was misspelled on the hospital form, but then what good is a name when the guy's a bum? The age was also incorrect. He was 38, not 39, and he looked twice that. Somebody might have remarked, 'What a shame for someone so young,' but nobody did because nobody cared. His health was gone. He was starving. He'd been found lying in a heap, bleeding from a deep gash to his throat. A doctor used black sewing thread to suture the wound. Then the man was dumped in a paddy wagon and dropped off at the hospital, where he languished and died. And nobody cared. A friend seeking him was directed to the local morgue. There, among dozens of others, he was identified. When they scraped together his belongings, they found a ragged, dirty coat with 38 cents in one pocket and a scrap of paper in the other. All his earthly goods, enough coins for another night in the streets, and five words on the scrap piece of paper: "Dear friends and gentle hearts." Almost like the words of a song somebody might have said, which would have been correct, for once upon a time, that man had written the songs that literally made the whole world sing. Songs like "Camptown Races" and "Oh Susanna," "Beautiful Dreamer," "I Dream of Jeannie with the Light Brown Hair," "Old Folks at Home," "My Old Kentucky Home," and 200 more songs that have become deeply rooted in our American heritage. Thank you, Stephen Collins Foster. We have no idea what others are going through or the exact situation that they're in. Don't prejudge people. You don't know the song that's in their heart. You don't know the life song that they're singing. God determines who walks into your life. It's up to you to look up to God in heaven for wisdom to respond to others. Proverbs 15:24, in today's chapter also. The path of life leads upward for the wise to keep him from going down to the grave. Jesus tells us in Matthew 12:36-37, "But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word that they have spoken. For by your words will you be acquitted, and by your words will you be condemned." The book of Proverbs closes with one of the most beautiful chapters in the Word. It's about honoring wives, and I hope somebody teaches from it. It's chapter 31, and I want to read a bit from it. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good and not harm all of his days. How do you speak to your wife? Do you lift her up and honor her with your speech? Do you give her the best of your best in all of your days? What things do you say to her? When's the last time you lifted her up in prayer? She's worth far more than rubies. And take it from me, guys, you don't know what tomorrow brings. You may not have her till the end of your days. And if you do, what will she say about you when you're gone? What kind of legacy will you leave her? Out of control words do not bring life to anyone. Proverbs 15:28-29, I leave you with this thought. The hearts of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. Do you want God to hear your prayers? Do you want him to hear what you have to say? Then you better watch what you talk about. Thank you and God bless.